Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's one of those stories from the Old Testament that you might be tempted to think is just a story, not history, but just a story, because it has some of the elements that you might put in. If you were making something up, it has some elements like that. It has a prophet called to go and speak, and before he manages to get away from God, God has sent a great fish to swallow him up and then to vomit him back up, and then God sends him again to do what he sent him to do in the first place. And you look at the story of the Old Testament prophet Jonah, many have looked at it and said, well, that's just too fanciful to be true. And of course, it's got to be a legend, it's got to be a myth or some kind of a parable that has a meaning other than historical truth. What's at stake there? What's at stake if we were to say something like the book of Jonah isn't true in the same sense that history is true? Joining us to talk about the book of Jonah and the prophet Jonah on this Monday afternoon, October the 21st, Pastor Tom Baker, Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
It's not unusual. You remember it very well, that the kind of the fruits of liberal Bible scholarship, one of the things that they attacked in the Old Testament as being mythological was the book of Jonah. What's at stake if this story isn't actually true?
I'm going to actually quote from the Growing in Christ Sunday School literature that provides some instruction for this. They make the point, well said, that during the 20th century and even before that, there were two accounts that were two major targets for liberal interpreters of the Bible. The one was the creation account because of evolution, and the second was Jonah because they didn't think that anyone could be swallowed by a whale. Now, what's at stake is that if Jonah isn't correct, there are three times in the New Testament that Jesus speaks about Jonah. I'll just read the one from Luke 11, verse 28 to 30, where he says, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." So, if Jonah never occurred, what kind of sign is Jesus to this generation? It's nothing but a fable. And as you had some individuals on, there are even people talking about today that Jesus of Nazareth never even existed, that was a creation of a Roman government. So you can understand that the Bible kind of falls apart if the historicity of Jonah is not kept.
So let's talk about the story itself. Jonah is called by God to go to Nineveh, but he obviously does not want to do this. Why is he reluctant?
The people of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians, they were almost forerunners of Hitler. They were horrible in the way that they treated people. And because this is a family show, I won't go into the details of how they dealt with captives. But this occurred around 650 B.C., and Jonah was actually speaking around 790 B.C. It's unfortunate that the repentance of Nineveh did not continue because Nahum, and that's who I was speaking about in 650 B.C., again was used by God to speak against Assyria, but they did not listen to him. And in 612 B.C., the Babylonians actually conquered Assyria. Jonah is living at about the same time as the prophets Hosea, Amos, and Joel. And by the way, the name Jonah is the Hebrew word for dove.
Is there significance there?
I don't know. You know, the dove appears at Jesus' holy baptism. I'm just concerned about not leaving conservative theology and moving into another kind of theology where everything's got a sign and such. But it's interesting. Well, wasn't it also a dove at Noah?
One of the birds is a dove.
I beg your pardon?
One of the birds is a dove.
Yes.
That.
Yes. So it's just kind of interesting that God chooses a man named Jonah, and we don't know that much about him. There were some people who thought that he was the son of the woman that Elisha raised him from the dead. But the problem with that, he calls himself a Hebrew, and that woman was a Gentile. So Martin Luther's got a wonderful study about that on the book of Jonah, that he could not have been that person, but that he was a Hebrew. He himself calls himself a Hebrew.
So he doesn't want to go and preach to the Assyrians. He's got a lot of reasons. Namely, they have a terrible reputation. They are the enemies of God's people. Now, it says there in the first several verses that instead he decides to go to Tarshish via ship. And it says, away from the presence of the Lord. That's kind of an odd way of talking about him, you know, fleeing away from God's call. What does it mean, away from the presence of the Lord?
Well, he had received a call from the Lord, it's very clear, but he was going away from it in much the same way that I look at Adam and Eve running to the bushes and hiding in the bushes, where, by the way, God also was. It's impossible to run away from the Lord because he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. But it's kind of like your parents tell you something to do and you don't want to do it, so you just get out of the house and just ignore it, this sort of thing. That's what he was trying to do. And there was such a hatred he had toward the Assyrians because of what they had done, you know, to the people of Israel. It would be kind of like us being told by God that we needed to go and talk to some of the folks who were Muslim radicals and urge them to repent after they had done a horrible thing, say, in the United States.
So it may be a mixture of fear, maybe a mixture of his hatred for them. You say he can't get away from the Lord. That's kind of one of the first remarkable things that we don't really often notice in this story, is that Jonah should know better than to try and get away from God.
Especially when... And we're going to bring some Reformation themes in, because I know this week you're doing a lot with the Reformation. But he himself talks about when he's on the ship that the God that is the true God is one that he himself tried to get away from. And even the people, the men on the ship, the sailors, they know that they... were told by Jonah himself that he was fleeing from the Lord. And, of course, they wondered what to do, but we'll get to that point.
Well, with a couple minutes before we take our break, it says, the Lord hurled a great wind at the sea. The mariners are terrified. They're all crying out to their own God. Meanwhile, Jonah is down in the hold of the ship asleep. What's going on?
The reason we believe he's asleep is that he doesn't really want to appear. And second of all, there's a kind of confidence that he has managed to get away from the Lord, and so he's trying to flee. By the way, we're a little confused as to where he's going to. He's either going to Tarsus, which is north, or he's going to Tartessus in Spain. But either way, he's going 400 miles from Nineveh. And you know how it happens when you do something wrong and you think you got away with it. You can sleep pretty calmly, but the Lord's not going to let that happen. And he's not letting it happen because of his love for Jonah, as well as the other sailors on that boat, as we will see.
The sailors, kind of operating from a pagan mindset, want to cast lots to see who's guilty. But I notice here that God is not above directing the course of their little dice to show them who's actually brought this calamity upon them. About a minute for your thoughts on that before we take a break.
If there's anything you want to get from Jonah, is that God is totally active in the lives of his people. He not only brings a great wind, a mighty tempest, but he makes sure that the lottery goes to Jonah. And then later on, we're going to find out three things happen when Jonah is trying to rest and take a look at Nineveh to see if it's going to be destroyed. And God is responsible for each of these things that are outside the power of Jonah, and he has one purpose. He's trying to do what he had done with Job in bring to Jonah a far greater faith than he had at the beginning of this event. And it's something that we would want to get across to the Sunday school children, that God is totally active in their lives, directing things to happen because of his love for the children.
We're talking about the book of Jonah and the prophet Jonah on this Monday, October the 21st. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
Now Jonah start to pray in the belly of the whale.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about the book of Jonah and the prophet Jonah. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Here's a little of what Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum that forms the basis for our weekly conversations with Pastor Baker, has to say. A little note here that I like the connections to the New Testament. You got Jonah sleeping in the hold of the ship. It says, one greater than Jonah in Matthew 12 slept peacefully inside the boat during the storm there in Luke chapter 8, just as Jonah had. But unlike Jonah, Jesus was clearly in control of the situation, rescuing his helpless disciples with just a rebuke of the wind and showing that he himself is Lord God who made the sea and the dry land. Just an insight, a connection to the New Testament, like you will often find in this Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and they'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tom, is there a connection here? What I just mentioned there coming out of the break, is there a connection here between the Jonah, this rebellious prophet sleeping there in the boat during the storm, and the one greater than Jonah sleeping in his boat there in the Gospels?
Not only do I think there's a tremendous connection there, but I want to quote one other passage from the Sunday school lesson that I thought was well done. Somebody took some time in doing this, and they're comparing Jesus again to Jonah. So also, Jesus in his crucifixion was baptized into the sea of death, drowned in our depravities, devoured by the grave, and spewed forth alive again after 3 days and nights that he might save us, the Assyrians, the Ninevites, Jonah, and I would add, and the Sunday school children. That's a well-written understanding of the connection between the two.
I think you have said several times in our many conversations, picking up where you left off before the break, that there are no coincidences in life. For the Christian, we simply do not believe in chance or coincidence, that God is intimately directing the affairs of our lives and the world around us. Why is that so important to understand?
It's so important because that's the meaning of being blessed by God. Being blessed doesn't mean good things are going to be happening to you all the time. But believe it or not, the apostles, when they were being martyred, were blessed to be martyred for the sake of Jesus. Peter refused to be crucified right side up. He had to be upside down. So what does the word blessing mean? I am blessed every time God keeps his promises. And since God never goes back on his promises, my life as a believer in Christ is always being blessed. And it's through eyes of faith that I come to affirm that, because a lot of times I don't seem to have the evidence that God is blessing me. And it certainly happens even among many of our members who will say something like this, what did I do to deserve this? Without realizing that God knows the number of hairs on your head, and he's going to get lost in some event that's happening to you that's beyond his power to help you endure? No way. That's what the promises of the gospel are all about.
A conversation ensues between the sailors and Jonah. Jonah admits that he is a Hebrew, that he fears God who made heaven and earth. This makes the mariners even more terrified. They say, what should we do with you? And he says, throw me into the ocean, it'll calm the sea. But they at first refuse to do that. And then they have this prayer, Tom, that is, I mean, it's amazing what they pray before, when they realize they're just going to have to get rid of Jonah. They say, O Lord, do not let us perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. What are they saying?
At that time, everybody was praying to their own gods. And Jonah said something that fits right in with the Reformation readings for this coming Sunday from Revelation chapter 14. Because another angel flying in the midst of heaven says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him, and here it comes, who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And that's particularly what Jonah says in verse 9. I fear the Lord, and he uses the name of God, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah's faith is coming through here, knowing that it is the Lord that has occurred. Now, when the men say, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the, and guess what the word is? Yahweh, because he had told them. In fact, the text finally says that they believed. And the guess what word is used in the Hebrew? It's the same word that we find in Genesis where Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. So here's a great example where God allows a tempest to come, but the end result is these people come to faith in the true God, which they did not have prior to that.
So this is, here God is, in spite of Jonah, completely in spite of Jonah, already bringing Gentiles to faith through the prophet's words.
Yes, and you know what's amazing here, how ironic that Jonah doesn't seem to have a problem with the sailors coming to faith, but the Assyrians? It reminds us of another Reformation theme for this Sunday, where in Matthew 11, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And Jonah could have added, and Assyrians. The fact is, the Reformation teaching is coming through clearly in the book of Jonah, where God is in charge of salvation. In fact, my favorite Bible verse is from Jonah 2:9, and I think this summarizes the entire book of Jonah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And Totsi, you're making that point that there's nothing happening here that Jesus himself is not involved in seeing to it that the vocation he's given to Jonah is going to be fulfilled.
And that kind of takes us to the first time it explicitly says, after God hurling a great wind at the sea, another thing God does here is appoints a great fish. Now, does he appoint this fish to finish Jonah off or to actually save Jonah?
He appoints the fish, and some translations say he prepared it or commanded a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Whichever way it is, God is the one that brings the fish up. In fact, God also speaks to the worm that later on destroys the plant that is giving shade. God is the God of creation, so he can command anything he wants. And the fact is the Hebrew word is just great fish. It doesn't name like the word whale. So it could have been a fish that God had prepared specifically for Jonah. But I'll tell you this. Some time ago, it was in an English paper from England. A man had been swallowed by a whale. And see, people thought that the gullet of a whale isn't large enough for a man to go through. And they caught the whale quite quickly, and the man was still alive inside. They were able to save him. That actually did happen some years ago, and we've got the article on that. But I don't care if there was an article or not, because once God says it, for me, that settles it. I don't need to have any kind of scientific evidence that he was swallowed by a great fish, and we'll find that out when we go to heaven and go to that booth of unanswered questions that Gabriel will be at. And if you want to ask what kind of fish was it, he'll tell you then.
Now, this prayer that Jonah prays while in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, what do you want us to notice about this prayer, Tom?
Particularly, it almost quotes the Psalms. Much of the Psalms is found in this prayer of Jonah. And what we find here that Jonah has great faith because he says, you'll hear my voice, you have cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. He shows that he knows that God has done everything. I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And what he's referring to there is wherever God is, he's going to look toward it. He uses, again, language from the Psalms. And how many times do we feel this way, that the waters have surrounded me, even my soul? The depth has closed round about me. Some people actually commit suicide when they get to this point. And what a wonderful message the Christian church has. Finally, verse 7 is important. When my soul faints within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. So he sacrifices to the Lord, and the last part of verse 9 I think is absolutely critical, where he says salvation is of the Lord. And that alone, to me, becomes the theme of the book of Jonah.
So with only about a minute here, this is Jonah at his farthest point from God, realizing that God hears his prayer and is still able to save even him. About a minute.
Yes. Yes. Is that not what the Reformation is about? The Romans 3 passage today, for this coming Sunday. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? By faith, apart from the deeds of the law. And that word faith, which is the Greek translation of what saved Abraham and also these sailors, they believed, means trusting the promises that God appends to the historical events that are occurring. Now, at this point, Jonah doesn't know if he'll be saved or not. But he knows that the Lord is going to be in charge. And verse 10 is so interesting. The Lord, and there's the name Yahweh again, referring to Jesus, spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up upon the dry land. That God not only is setting everything up in your life to help you follow your vocation, but he's doing it for your good, not for your evil.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about the book of Jonah. It's Monday afternoon, October the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues, Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU, Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
First stanza of the Easter hymn, All the Earth with Joy Sounding. Listen to this. I mean, the connection it makes between Christ's resurrection and Jonah. All the earth with joy is sounding. Christ has risen from the dead. He, the greater Jonah, bounding from the grave, his three-day bed, wins the prize, death's demise. Songs of triumph fill the skies. We're talking about the prophet Jonah. And Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, we come to that point where the second call comes to Jonah, very similar to the first one. Go to that great, mighty city and say what I tell you to say. What happens next?
Jonah had been taught well. He goes to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And what I find really good here is verse 2, that God says, I want you to call out against it the message that I tell you. There's something that's going to be going on here that Jonah is not at all happy to do this. But he's learned his lesson, and therefore he goes to Nineveh, a huge city, and part of the message he speaks is 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Right after that, verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. And I mentioned that was the same word that Abraham, it's used for Abraham, and it was he was declared righteous. This is so comforting to me, Todd, and I'm sure you're going to be able to say the same kind of thing. And it's a point made in the Sunday school literature very well, namely, that at times we may do a sermon that we don't put a lot of work into. And it might, even when we're done, it may not be the best. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of church shaking hands and somebody says, that was such a wonderful sermon. And so I always used to ask them, well, what part did you like? And they would talk about a part that I can't even remember preaching. That wasn't the point. But God used the word to change hearts. And I've often said that Jonah is a wonderful example for pastors who feel bad about that they were lazy in doing the sermon and they wonder if the word could come through. God took this word. I can only imagine Jonah walking around and preaching, not like Billy Graham with great vigor or like a Wallace Schultz, but instead, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And, oh, yeah, hello, over there, 40 days. And no excitement in it, nothing. And it really shows me that the power is not in the vocals of the pastor or the witness or the layman. The power is in saying the word of God just as God tells us. And look at what happens. The whole town of Nineveh is converted.
And it goes all the way to the king. The king makes the repentance official. I mean, he mandates that the city now engage in the outward signs of repentance. It says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, he relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them and did not do it. But Jonah apparently didn't get the memo. He expects the judgment to come. What happens with him?
Well, just before we get to that, I want to say something about they repent, you know, in kind of dust and ashes. That's another Reformation theme. First of all, we find it in Job 42, where Job says, you know, God, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear. In other words, I heard rumors about you. But now that you have spoken to me and taken me on a trip through the universe, so to speak, my eye sees you. Now listen to his response to finally coming face to face with the true God. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Remember what the first thesis of the 95 were that Luther posted that began the Reformation. The life of the Christian is one of repentance. And that word, from even the Hebrew and the Greek, doesn't mean that I turn myself around, but God turns me around. This is a total miracle. Can you imagine being an Assyrian, and here comes this Israelite, Hebrew, and he starts preaching to you, and you're going to listen to him? Not only do they listen, but the entire city repents in dust and ashes. And I would be saying to the Sunday school children, you know, during your life, you'll have the opportunity to give the law and the gospel to people, and never worry about it. God will give you the words to say, and whatever words you say, if they're according to the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit can use them to bring faith to those people.
It says Jonah was exceedingly angry. He didn't like the fact that the word of God had worked. And Then he blames God and says, look, I knew you were going to do this. You're merciful. You're gracious. You're slow to anger. You avert disaster. And now I'm so angry I can die. Just take my life. I'd rather die than sit here and watch these people repent. There's an awful lot of bitterness still going on there, isn't there?
There certainly is, and it's a bitterness because we remain sinner and saint. And that was a particular problem that Jonah had. Maybe he had an experience with the Assyrians and just hated them to such a degree. But every Christian kind of goes through that when somebody... Can you imagine in the early church when they heard that Saul had become Paul and he had been converted? Remember, they didn't even let him in the door when he was knocking there because they couldn't believe it. And I think part of the reason is, why would God be so gracious to a murderer of Christians? And that's what Jonah was learning. And so God set up three more things. You know, he had already set up the fish. He set up four altogether. He set up a plant. And we think the plant could grow up to 15 feet. But then he appointed a worm that ate part of the plant, which allowed it to die, so there was no more shade for Jonah, and then he sent a scorching east wind. I really like what Irenaeus, a church father, says, that God patiently suffered Jonah to be swallowed by, now he says whale, not that he should be swallowed up and perish altogether, but that having been cast out again, he might be the more subject to God. And in the lives of my members and myself, the more persecuted we become, the more evil comes down against us, the more we rely on God and we see him working all things out. So this is the message to the children. Not everything in your life is going to go really wonderfully, but you have a God who is wonderful toward you.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll be talking with Tom about King Hezekiah praying in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19, a very interesting story. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc., as Tom has indicated several times here, we are in the middle, not actually the beginning, of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. The theme of this week in the second hour programs is Reformation Confessors. We'll start with the first of the Reformation Confessors, 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest for hour two of Issues Etc. Thanks to Pastor David Pelsu and Reformation Lutheran Church in Afton, Missouri. Recently, they joined our congregational sponsorship program called the Issues Etc. 300. We're very thankful for them joining and for all the congregations who have joined. This is the time to either join or renew your congregation's membership in the Issues Etc. 300 by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget of your congregation to the tune of $1,000 or more over the course of the coming year. Now, in order to find out everything you need to know, all you've got to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and you'll find a one-page flyer there that tells you and your congregation everything you need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. Go to your congregation now, because right now your congregation is meeting together, those preliminary meetings where they're setting budget items. And in order to include Issues Etc., somebody needs to ask them. And that's all you need to do. Go ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org. Click support and download, print off the one-page flyer. Take it to your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Jonah knows who God is. This is the real irony of the whole story. He knows that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and averting disaster, and he doesn't want that grace and that mercy extended to his mortal enemies, the Assyrians. But does that stop God? No. God works even through this rebellious, angry, almost suicidal prophet in order to speak a word of repentance and forgiveness to this terrible people. And that word, in spite of Jonah, that word does what God sends it to do. Now, I'm not an Assyrian, but that's exactly how God brought me to repentance and faith, through the power of his word. Why? Well, Jonah's right. As wrong as he is in many things, he's right. God is, in our Savior Jesus Christ, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and averting disaster. That's why he saves sinners like you and me. I'm Todd Wilken. Issues Etc. Reformation Week begins in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.